amen of God. Thanks for being here. You can take a seat. Now, you need to look at this T-shirt here. I want you to notice this. Keep calm and let the associate pastor handle it. That is way cool. Oh, that is awesome. I love that. That's your dude. That's the man. And you're glad he's there, aren't you? Yeah. Well, guys, this is the day the Lord has made. We're supposed to what? Rejoice in it. Remember that. Sometimes you wake up a little. Sometimes, once in a blue moon, it happens to me, I wake up and it's like I've been Novocaine to my brain. And I still, in that moment, still give thanks to the Lord. Before I move out of a bed, I just give thanks. I made a choice decades ago that I'm going to give thanks to the Lord no matter where I find myself. And I want to encourage you on this day. We've got a real blessing today. We're going to be looking at some scriptures and things like that, and you're going to around your tables, and I'm going to have a few minutes with you. And then I'm having Sven come up in the last few minutes here and share some things on his heart, because we're going to send him back out. And he's headed back in September, back to Africa, I think. But he's not just going to be in Africa. God has prepared this man to speak all around the world. He really has. He's been seasoned. And it's just a privilege to have a man like him in our midst. I want you to know this is a man after the heart of the Almighty, and he's been seasoned exceedingly well. I'd like to open us in prayer, and then I've got one basic announcement, and maybe two, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence as your sons. We're here because we want to be here. Father, today we chose to be here at this hour in the morning because we want to know you. We have come to worship. We have come to draw near. We have come to ask that your breath would truly become our breath, and I'm asking that for these men that are here. They're in all walks of life and ages and backgrounds and denominations, but Father, more than any single thing, they're your sons. They're men after your heart because of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love and your kindness and your goodness. We thank you for gentleness that is beyond comprehension, your patience and your tolerance. We thank you for anointing us with the Holy Spirit and changing our lives. Father, this is a good day to be with you. This is a good day to rejoice. And I'm praying a blessing on these men that they will learn every day more and more what the thrill of delighting in you. That you will then grant them the desires of their heart for their families, their work, their community, our country, and everywhere they travel. May this be the day that we could shake the foundations of sin one more time for your honor and glory. We shake them, Father, as your sons. We shake them in your praises. We shake them in rejoicing and joyful thanksgiving to you. For we will be men until the last breath that we have. We will praise you and give thanks. So we honor you today, Lord, and ask that you would bless us overwhelmingly with the Holy Spirit. Teach us wonderful and truthful things. Change our lives. Help us understand the beauty of this moment, that we are men that are called holy because of Jesus Christ. The battle has been won. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, guys, October 14th through the 16th, we have Man's Camp this year. And please get... I'm encourage you to at your churches, let men know about it. It's going to be a dynamic camp. I have a friend of mine, his name's Tim Gidley. He's out of the Carolinas. When I was pastoring in Tucson, he came three different times to our church, and one of the times I had him preach, and he's a singer. When you hear him open his mouth and sing, he sings. I promise you, he can sing. But he's a great man of God. He's a young man. He's only, 44 or 45, something like that. He's in his 40s. And it's amazing when I start thinking that's young. You remember when we were in our early 20s, we thought somebody in their 40s was near the compost pile. You know, now we're looking at us, oh, that's the age of my kids, you know. But it's just a dynamic time, and I want to encourage you. We're also, by the grace of God, we're going to have him here probably in the third week of August, so you get to meet him. He's going to be in some of our churches and also at our Band of Brothers. Please pray for the Band of Brothers that's gotten started. It's on the first and third Saturday, so we have it this Saturday in Atascadero at the Healing Room. It's just turned out to be a really holy time. It's been... kind of stunning to see that many men come on a Saturday there who can't come during the week. So I just want to ask you to please, I know that you've got a lot of things on your mind, you get busy about a lot of things, and you may forget these things, but I'm just asking you to pray for them and pray for us that we might see wonderful and great things. So take the time around your table right now. You've got the scriptures, you got a simple little question, and let's see, go for it, okay? Thanks. Right things. If you tell them about Jesus Christ, you open the Word of God, they're there. They're there. There's not a problem. You have a band up here. You could have them. They could come in and listen to a band. They can hear the sounds of music. They don't sing at all. They won't move their lips. They won't do anything. But they believe it. Makes them feel good. They listen to it. Makes them feel good. But they don't get free from their stuff. They don't get free. What in the world is it that does this? You got painful days come. They're going to come to you, whether we like them or not. I was telling some people the other day about painful times. It's been three times in my life where I've had moments. One of them was a very long season, about 2.5 years, where I just kept in almost a depression, wailing before the Lord. And it was towards the end of that time when I said to Him very clearly, I was down on my knees, and when you're undone, you're just undone. I don't know how to describe it. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been there, you'll probably get there eventually. I just want to encourage you. It's on its way, okay? So, yeah, okay. And I remember being there, and I said to the Lord, I said, "Now, Father," and I'm just down. I'm just having a hard time. I can't understand how this stuff is happening. It's not something I chose to come into my life. It's just, it's been granted to me. And I said, I know you said you would not allow anything to come upon me that I'm not able to bear. But honestly, you know, I'm not bearing this well. I'm having a really difficult time. And then I said to Him, "I think you're a little more optimistic about my abilities than I am." And with that, I burst into laughter. It was the first time I had laughed in almost 2 years. And I realized that God gave those words to me out of the beauty and the kindness of the Holy Spirit. So what in the world is it? What is stopping all these men? I think of this, I gave it to you. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. Why am I not ashamed? Well, it's the power of God. Power of God for what? Salvation. Salvation from what? What am I saved from? I'm saved from me. I'm saved from the power of my sin. I was saved from me. Now, how frustrating would it be for me to say I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation, and I don't feel saved from anything. I'm still battling me. I'm still fighting me. I'm still fighting my same addictions that I've always had. My addictions didn't leave the room. When I was filled with lust before Christ, I'm filled with lust after Christ. What in the world? How in the world do you get through this thing? How does it work? And I think, well, number one, I have to come to the conclusion. Something had to happen in my life. This last Sunday, obviously, we were doing on Memorial Day, and it was a great, great time. And I was thinking about all the different Memorial Day services, and they're wonderful to remember. But my Memorial Day was remembering when God took a dead man and made him alive. Me. I was a dead man. I mean, I'm going to tell you, and I always tell everybody, I've repented more. I mean, I've done more sinning since salvation. All right? Because before salvation, I didn't even quite honestly know what was going on. I just did everything naturally. No one taught me how to lust. No one taught me how to get irritated. No one taught me how to get angry. No one taught me how to be self-centered. Nobody. That just seemed to come very natural to me. Okay? It was part of my wake-up and my makeup. So I look at it, what is it? Listen to these words. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Is there something wrong here? Do you not know this? Now, we know that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Listen to these words. It's righteousness. We know that the Word of God, I'm always having you read it. All Scripture is what? God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so I'm thinking, okay, God can't hype and jive. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. All right, now I'm going to talk about what is this salvation. Here he goes. Do you not know that we will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. If sin is reigning in your life, there's something wrong. I'm going to let you know. If sin is the basic controller of your attitude, anger, addictions, and it doesn't mean you don't blow it. You get to, just as much as I do, repentance is an act of worship. It's not an act of condemnation. Okay? It is not condemnation. God does not come up to us and condemn me and say, you better get your butt turned around or I'm going to waste your face. He doesn't do that. It's out of kindness and tolerance and patience. It's about grace. It's about grace. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I was ungodly as any man on the planet, Christ died for me. When I was his ultimate enemy, and I told him to stick it up his rear end if he had one, he still poured grace upon me. So, listen to these words. Do not be deceived. The sexually immoral are not going to enter the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. The idolaters, adulterers, an adulterer. Let me explain an adulterer. That's someone who's had sex with someone other than their wife. Okay? They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Anybody done that? Don't raise your hand, please, okay? I mean, I look at this stuff and I'm thinking, understand these things. Nor male prostitutes or homosexual offenders, nor the thieves. Anybody ever stole anything? Don't raise your hand. I have, but, I could tell you unbelievable stories. Nor the greedy. How about that one? Drunkards. Anybody ever been drunk here? Don't raise your hand again on that one. Slanders. How about talking stink? Swindlers. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And listen, this is it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God for salvation. He goes, and that is what some of you were. That's what some of you were. But you've been washed. Who washed you? Christ. The battle was over at Christ. I'm not battling my sin. I'm celebrating the victory. Because my victory is Jesus Christ and Him alone. I don't have any other victory. I cannot even keep myself safe. If he said, okay, I've saved you, now keep yourself safe. Bummer. Not going to work. It doesn't work. This righteousness that I'm not ashamed of, listen to the beauty of these things. You were sanctified. What does that mean? You were made holy. You've got to get over this thing. If you really knew you were a sinner, if you really knew that you were lost, and you knew that God saved you from your sin. Not only did He save you from your sin, He said, I declare you holy. I declare you freely forgiven now and forever. You could not contain the joy that would be inside your soul. People say, what in the world has happened to you? Dude, I've been forgiven. I'm a holy man. That'll blow your hair back. Go tell your wife, I'm a holy man. You're married to a holy man. That's true. See, what has happened? I've been trying to figure this out. What in the world is the difference between men that seem to have an ability to be set free from their sin? And I don't mean that they don't sin. They get to repent just like me a lot with great joy. You repent with joy. There's no condemnation. So what's the difference? And this is what I have found. 100% I have found this. I have found that men who believe all of these things and won't open their mouth and praise the Lord. They won't sing to the Lord. They'll come to a meeting. They will not praise. In the midst of a storm, they will not give thanks. Life is still about them. If they come in feeling crappy, that's how they are. They just are. They're not going to change. They're not going to open their mouth. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Rejoice in the Lord. Why should I rejoice in the Lord? Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't contain myself. I go from one victory to another victory to another. And I like victory. I'm going to tell you what, victory does good things for me. I love being competitive, especially on me. You know, I love this thing where I feel sin in my, I still feel sin in this old carcass. In fact, I was telling the Lord the other day, I said, I'm looking in the mirror and I said, Father, this sin just never leaves, does it? It's never going to go away until this body hits the compost pile. But I get the victory. And I wanted to let you guys know, when you come here this early in the morning, I want to encourage you to try something. Come in praising God. Come in and every man you meet, encourage him. If you're grabbing a cup of coffee, you're grabbing a donut, encourage the man next to you right away. Man of God, I'm glad you're here. When these men are leading us in singing, sing your face off. Just try it. If we have a song that happens to say, I lift my hands, your hands will not fall off if you lift your hands. What is your desire, Lord? I desire that all men lift up holy hands in prayer. You will not die. Your arms won't fall off. And what happens is you win the victory over your old nature. You've got an old nature that does not want you to go free. You've been called to freedom, brethren, but don't use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. And this is the beauty of I am not ashamed. And then watch this, what it says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. And let me tell you, there's nothing greater than the power of God. Not Lucifer, not your sin, not a situation, not a demon, nothing. Because the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? Remember what the gospel is? The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day. This is the gospel. For in the gospel is a righteousness. Again, we're back to righteousness. The righteousness of God is revealed. I took sin and I broke it. I went to the very gates of hell, he says, and I went to the depths of death, and nothing can conquer death. Satan's kingdom was solidly hooked into this darkness and death and hell. And God says he died, he went down there, and the agony of death was on him, and it could not hold him. And in hell and in death, he grabbed those keys. I don't know what he said, but it had to be something like, watch this. You know, and rise from the dead. He broke it. The power of God is there. You were meant to go from victory unto victory, not battling your sin. The victory is Christ, not you. It's not your effort. It's Christ's effort. And you glory. You glory in what Christ has done. And when you open your mouth and give glory to God, when you celebrate God, something will take place within your nature that will blow your hair back. It is so beautiful. Watch this. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as is written. Here it is. The righteous will live by faith. Men of God, this is a great gift for us. This is a time our nation needs you so desperately. This community needs you so desperately. Our churches need you so desperately. All the churches do. We need righteous men. We need men that can walk in and know how to praise God right off the get-go. They're not irritants. The people want to be around them. So I wanted to give you this morning. I wanted to tell you about the beauty of Christ, who you are, and try something. When you're here, no matter what position you're in, when you come in here, come and if you still have breath, otherwise you wouldn't have be in here. You'd be over at Kirk's office, you know. Yeah. Yeah. We're all headed in his direction. Okay. It's not if, it's just when. Okay. While you have breath, praise the Lord. While you have breath, open your mouth and sing to the Lord. Let the righteous sing to the Lord. Let the righteous sing to the Lord. Never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what your personality is. So let these be the holy days. We've got Zen. I'm going to have you come on up. This is a holy man. I love this man. He has gone through all kinds of opportunities during his journey. And I asked him if he'd come and share with you what God's doing. And then before this is over today, we're going to pray over this man and send him out. Amen, my friend.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much, and good morning to you. It's been a privilege for me being here. I think I've been here every Wednesday since I came 6 weeks ago. I'm leaving on Tuesday. Thank you so much, man of God, for inviting me. I'd just like to show you a picture. And I've always been interested in wildlife when I lived in Africa. And one morning I was in the forest with my kids, my two sons. We were staying out there, and actually we went hunting that day. I love that. But this morning was particular, and it was different. Suddenly we heard a noise in the morning. Something like that. And we found a baby elephant that was stuck in the mud. And we saw that all the adult elephants had tried to lift it up but have given up on this elephant and had left. So when I saw this, only the trunk and the upper part of the head was sticking out of the mud. So I told my sons, we're going to rescue this elephant. I know God has sent me to rescue people, but a missionary, you do whatever is ahead of you. So we worked for 5 hours and had a winch on my car, and we dug under the elephant. We put ropes around it, and we were under it. We were over it. I was sitting on it. And after 5 hours, here's my son holding the trunk of the elephant, putting it in water. And we gave it first aid. And the next picture, please. And then after 5 hours, we got it up on its feet. And as soon as it got up, it sensed the smell of the old elephant and started running into the jungle. But just before it came into the jungle, it turned around, lifted its trunk as if it wanted to say, thank you for saving my life. It was quite an extraordinary experience. But what I want to tell you, I smelled like an elephant for 5 days. I washed myself, I showered, but I smelled like an elephant. Now, I just want to read to you 2 Corinthians 2, and you'll know why I said this. But thanks be to God who always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. God has called us not to smell like elephants, but to be an aroma of Christ. Now the picture Paul uses here is a fantastic picture taken from the old ancient times when the Romans would send their militaries out to the world and try to conquer all different nations. And there was a tradition when the Roman commander and his soldiers came back from a victory. We're speaking about victory here. They would have a special procession and a procedure in Rome. You would have the general, the commander-in-chief, riding on this white horse, and after him, all the people that had been taken as captives, and then the soldiers would come. And they would have a tradition before this procession would come through the city of Rome. There would be people throwing out flowers all over on the streets of Rome. So here were the streets of Rome full of flowers. And now here comes the commander-in-chief and all the soldiers. And they were just treading on all these flowers. And a smell was released. A fragrance was released of flower that filled the city. And this was the fragrance of victory. Now Paul uses this picture to tell us that we are called to be an aroma of Christ. And this is what God wants us to do and to be in our nation even today. And I just want to remind you that we are called. Sometimes we don't understand what happens in our lives. We go through the deep, dark tunnel, or he takes us to places we don't choose to go. But God has a plan when he takes us to these places. If you read another time, dig into 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you'd see all the hardships that the Apostle Paul, he went through in his life. And after listing up all these hardships, he says, the only thing that really matters is that my grace is enough for you. And when I am weak, I'm strong. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So there is a plan God has for each one of us when we go through difficulties in life. There's a good friend of mine, Swedish author, he says, regarding the way we impact people around us, he says that the gospel convinces more by aroma than through discussions. The way we are, the atmosphere around us, we create an aroma of Christ. And I remember reading of an old Greek philosopher who said to his students, "I cannot hear what you're saying because your life speaks louder than your words." We have to know this, men of God, that our lives speak louder than our testimonies, that whatever we do. I remember reading of an old gypsy preacher in France for many, many years ago. They called him Gypsy Smith. He told this congregation of gypsies, "Do you know that you are the only Bible that your neighbors read?" And then he said, "No wonder they want a revised version." But it's true, they don't read our Bible, they read our lives. They look over our shoulder to see how we're living our lives, what we're doing, and they're impacted by who we are more than but why, what we say. Do you know that your spouse should be the first one to realize or to sense the aroma of Christ in your life, and then your children? The ones who are close to us should be the first. God shapes us more in crisis than he does in the good life. Close to Christ, he draws us close to him, because in a crisis we will draw close to him. And often in the darkest moment of our lives, God teaches us the most. It's in darkness, it's in crisis, in adversities, in the desert and loneliness that we often tend to learn more. We wouldn't have perfume if flowers hadn't been crushed. We wouldn't have the olive oil if the olives were not crushed. There wouldn't be any wine if the grapes are not pressed and squashed in a grape press, in a vine press. So when God takes you and me through the fire, it's because he wants to refine the gold that is in us. When he lets us go through a dark tunnel of life, it's because he wants to develop the character of Jesus in us. And do you know that character is much more important than charisma? When we become Christ-like, when we have the aroma of Christ, then we're able to impact this world. So I just want to say that when darkness surrounds you, when you lose your hope, when you don't know which way to go, or the storm knocks you off your feet, and everything around you looks like a mess, this is a time for God to start molding and forming us and shaping us to the vessel that he wants to shape us to. But in a crisis, many people, they determine to run away from God instead of run into his to be embraced by him. When things in life becomes a failure, when your business doesn't go well, when you're hit by bankruptcy, when your dreams fail to come true, when you lose your job, you don't have any money, when you're abandoned by the one you loved, and you're divorced, or when you lose the love of your life because of death, the only thing that you then have left is God. There is no other option. So, men of God, let us draw near to God in situations, in every situation in this life. Then it is time to seek him and to be dependent on him. And I just want to remind you, closing here, there was a man who went out to Africa years ago. His name was Henry Morton Stanley. He was not a Christian. I usually say, if you read his biography, he was not one of God's best children. He was actually a bad man. He went and found David Livingstone on the shores of Lake Tanganyika in Africa. He stayed with him for 4 months. And I quote, he wrote, "For 4 months I lived with him in the same house, in the same boat, or in the same tent. And I never found a fault in him. Little by little, seeing his piety, his gentleness, his zeal, his earnestness, and how he went quietly around his business, I was converted by him, though he didn't try to convert me." The influence of a man of God, the aroma of Christ, will draw people to Jesus. So when the roses are crushed, it releases the aroma of victory. When we are crushed and nothing is left of our own, the aroma of Jesus may be known to the people around us. And men of God, I just want to encourage you to be an aroma of Jesus. Don't smell like elephants. Have the good aroma of Christ. Amen.
Now that is awesome. I have to tell you, not many of us have had the chance to pull an elephant out of the mud. You know, when I first saw that first picture, I thought, what is that laying there? But I looked at it and I thought, oh, I thought of that elephant. I thought, oh, that was me. That's how God found me. And God pulled me out of the stinking mud, the miry pit. So guys, would you go ahead and stand up? And what we're going to do in these minutes, I'd like us to, it's a little bit different. You might remember when Coach did this, get huddled up around here and get in a circle all the way around the room. Put your arms around each other. We're gonna do some praying, and then we're gonna sing. We're gonna sing the Lord, but we're gonna pray for this man. This is truly a holy man that you get to know. You're gonna always be able to say, "I met that man. I met that man. I knew that man." And God has seasoned him for this moment to do something in our world, to speak to men and women all around the world, and that's just a holy time. So. We'll get all huddled up. Make sure you get close enough where you can put your arms around each other, okay? Put on shoulder to shoulder, and we're going to pray. Okay, get close enough over there, guys. You guys are separated over there, so you might have to move in a little bit, guys. Move in. Can't pray until you're all... Pretend you like each other. Okay, we're getting in here. All right. Now what we're going to do, guys, we're going to pray, all right, as sons of the Most High God, and we're going to ask a true blessing. So I'd ask that I'm going to be praying, but I'd ask that you go ahead whatever God's telling you, you say it for the same thing, and we're going to ask a special anointing on this man, and that we're going to have the privilege of sending him out. Father, we come as your sons, and we are linked arm in arm because we're your sons. We're men after your heart. We have come to worship you, and we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ at all. We declare it as the salvation of our soul. We declare that you died for our sin. You saved us for our sin, Lord. You rescued us from our sin, and our Savior is our victory. And we are blessing you. We are like that elephant caught in the mud. We couldn't help ourselves. We couldn't get out. There is no way. We were just stuck there. And right then and there, our Savior reached down and lifted us up. Took away the stench of our sin and gave us the fragrance and the beauty of Christ. Thank you so much for this awakening. Thank you for the joy that you gave to us. Thank you for the thrill of we're still standing here with breath in these bodies of ours, and we praise your name. And Father, as we praise your name, we're asking a blessing on Sven. Father, that only you can give. We're asking an anointing from the Most High. We're asking, Father, the penetration of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit wherever he goes. We're asking that, Father, every desire of his heart would be granted to him in whatever country he finds himself. And that every man, woman, boy, and girl that gets to meet him will hear and feel and sense, as Stanley did, Christ. They will do this, Father. You have seasoned this man. So you've called him by your name. You've seasoned him through all of his life with languages. You seasoned him with great love and great heartache. Father, I'm asking that we would be able to pray for him in such a way that something would take place that would cause hundreds of thousands of people to know you right well. Muslim people all over the world, Father, are going to want to see Jesus the Christ. He knows them, he has been there, and he walks in the power of your might. Father, so I know you're with him, I know you're behind him, you're before him, and you're going to send him out. So we're asking this blessing on him, Lord, of the power of the Holy Spirit, the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, that he will be filled with praise and good things. He will minister. He will see miracles done. The protection of Christ will be upon him. And, Father, he will shake the beauty of all this world and take the very foundations of sin, and they will be destroyed by the grace of Christ. I thank you for righteousness in his life. I thank you for peace in his life. And I thank you for the joy of you in his life and the power of the Holy Spirit. You said that anyone that serves you in this way is pleasing to you and approved of by men. May it be said of Sven all the days of his life. We thank you for this, Lord, and we praise you as your sons in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, men of God. Woo! Amen. Our band's going to lead us. Amen. Thank you. Guys, you can stand right there, and we're going to sing to the Lord right now. These guys are going to lead us in a song, and then Chuck has one little announcement, and I'll let you bless one another. Okay?
Love and grace. So let me be the one you'll send to the nation, and let me be the one to shake the gates of hell. Oh, in these final days, for your name I will proclaim. And here I am. Let me be the one. Let me be the one. Let me be the one you'll send to the nation. Well, let me be the one to shake the gates of hell. For in these final days, oh, your name I will proclaim. 'Cause here I am. Let me be the one in these final days. Proclaim, well, here I am. Let me be the one. Here I am. Well, here I am. Let me be the one. Let's go, yes, Lord.
Just talking about you, and I was saying, that song fits everything you're going to go do. I mean, let me be the one. Send me to the nations. Amen. Oh, I can't tell you what a joy it is to know you, man of God. I am so grateful that you're our friend and you're a man after our heart. Always keep in touch with us because we're going to be praying for you. Okay? Amen. Chuck, you've got an announcement?
We have a mission field here as well, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And we are all a part of it.
Amen. Amen.
Overwhelmed by grace. Is not First Baptist. It's not any other church. It's you men that care so much to get up on Wednesday mornings and come out and rejoice and sing praises to our God and love one another.
Amen.
So you have an opportunity. It's your ministry, and we support Gus. You have an opportunity. There's baskets on the tables. As you feel led of the Lord to give, we bless you and thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hey, guys, right now, hey, Bob, do you want them to do anything? Four chair?
Stacks of four and no more.
Hey, Gus, we got one other thing. If any of you guys could help me when we're done, we got carpet tiles for the the building over here that we're going to be carpeting this morning. They're on my truck and trailer. We just need some bodies. They're just boxes.
You're going to move them over and over?
I'll drive the truck. Yeah, we don't have to walk them from here. I will drive closer to the building.
Okay.
But if some guys could help me unload it, I appreciate it.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.